You are listening to The Pilgrim of the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome. We are looking at how to thrive in California. Now, there's lots of people that talk about constraints and talk about issues that they might want to deal with. But the whole point of our conversations on The Pilgrim on the 405 is to find out really what's happening in California, what's going to be coming down from Sacramento in the next 5 years, and then get really clear about what can be done to help businesses thrive in California. Everybody knows that businesses have a choice. They can leave or they can stay. And lots of people, like my clients, want to stay in California, intend to stay, demand they're going to stay, and they want to know how to thrive in California. The issues surround HR, they surround the legal world, they surround, as well as those two, they also surround the technology and IT world. And so today we have Dave Seibert, who's a business technology expert with 35 years experience. He has a passion like I do, and many of the people I work with, to help businesses reach their next level, to help them thrive. He's received over 30 industry awards and accreditations. In fact, he received the top 150 worldwide SMBT IT Influencers Award, the top 10 U.S. Managed Service Providers Award, and the top 250 U.S. MSP Experts. So Dave's an author, a column writer, and a thought leader. Presents at conferences, at SCORE, and for the SBA, has 1,000 LinkedIn professional endorsements. He's a CIO for IT Innovators, a business technology provider serving Southern California businesses for 19 years. So, welcome, Dave, to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Thanks, Will. Glad to be here.
So, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do in your business to help businesses thrive.
You know, absolutely, and thanks for that opportunity. You know, I think the key thing is that my passion, as you mentioned, is technology, and I leverage that technology to help businesses here in California. The key in helping businesses is really a few core things. The very first one is lowering their business risk. Especially in California, one of the core things is businesses need to have a lower risk profile. And with technology, you can achieve that inexpensively and quite well. And that's one of the things that we do. Another one is efficiency. Salary is one of the highest expenses that many companies will have, regardless of their size, a small business, a medium business, or even a large company. And so we help them leverage technology in order to get higher efficiency, better systems inside their company, and that helps them thrive. It helps them to succeed and grow. And that's what I do with my passion and technology to help businesses.
Well, you know, I've often heard that a company has to be two or three times as effective and efficient as a company like it in Omaha to succeed here. So those kinds of things, I think, are really helpful. Tell me about this business risk and why it's necessary to reduce the business risk in California.
Sure. So one of the core things, risk is high for many reasons. The first one is just liability. We go into businesses where we do what we just call an assessment, meaning we take a look at the business. We sit down with the C-level, whether that's the chief executive officer, the chief finance, or the operations, and we show them what's happening inside their business. We actually do what we term, and a lot of people might know, as a SWOT, SWOT, and we point out the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats as it relates to their company and technology. And it's amazing the things that we find. A simple example is that we'll go into a business and they have no protection from the internet, i.e. something that we all call a firewall, and that means a lot of their employees will be surfing for things, well, they shouldn't be surfing for during working hours. And that brings high liability to the company. HR departments get involved, lawsuits happen. We come in and do something very simple. and limit people's ability to go to those kind of hate sites, pornographic sites, gambling sites, a lot of things that people do at the workplace that they shouldn't be doing. And just by taking away their ability to go to those inappropriate sites, we greatly lower the business risk.
Well, now, I was under the impression that all businesses were doing that now. Is that something that people are not doing and should be paying attention to?
They're totally not. Now, granted, some businesses are. I'll give you that. But the number of businesses that are not is just staggering. Another one that's right up there along with that is backup. We will go in and sit down with a company and talk to their executive level and ask them something very simple, like if you know, a core partner or employee was to turn hostile and take their data with them, how are you on backup so that your business will continue without interruption, so that you don't have to quote close the doors? It is a statistic that 70% of businesses that lose their data goes out of business within about 7 months now. It used to be 18 months, but in today's world, with everybody relying on technology the way they do, it's within about 7 months. And most companies will say, we're fine here. Then we take a look, and no, they're not.
So there's a lot of denial.
There is. And I think it's because businesses, they're busy. They're focused on their core deliverable, and they want to believe that everything else is in place the way it should be. And unfortunately, a lot of times, well, more than not, it isn't. And that's why we can make such an impactful difference on a business and extend their life, because that's our focus, just like they have a focus on what they do, what their business model is.
Now, wasn't that what happened with Southwest Airlines last week?
So what a major disruption, there's no doubt. Matter of fact, I did a big event where we had some speakers flying in, and some of them were on Southwest. And they were delayed by not just, you know, hours. They were delayed by a whole day getting in. And then they had a challenge. The event was 3 days long, and after 3 days, they still had a challenge getting flights back out again. And that was a disruption across the entire nationwide airline for them. And you would think that someone of their size this wouldn't even be a topic to discuss. But it is, and it does happen. With the right focus on technology, which makes a huge impact on business, these kind of things can be prevented. It's really just an issue of if the business is putting focus on it or not.
Well, now, the Southwest Airlines issue had to do with a backup, right? Faulty backup?
Yeah, so faulty backup, and that's that is an irony, only because we have quite a few clients, well, people that become our clients, that have generators in their parking lot. And you would think that a company that has generators, that they're tested, they're ready to go. And you hear countless stories of not only did the backups not work, the generators did not work, which of course is a form of backup for electricity. But that's our focus again, is to make sure those systems are working as the business continues to focus on what the business does.
Well, now, when you think about the, you know, doing a risk analysis, looking at SWOT analysis, things like that, is that anything like an annual physical for a person?
You know, it's funny you use that analogy, but it's a good one. And the thing is, a lot of technology companies, their focus is to come in and say, oh, you have a PC in the corner that's broke, I'll fix it. And almost anybody can do that, including the high school kid. Technology for a business goes way beyond that. And that's why we put our business hat on, in addition to our technology hat. Because just to put technology into a company or fix the technology is not good enough anymore. Now you need to take a look at the business and the operations and how they're being impacted. And that's why we do that SWOT. So that way, the things that a company's doing that's right, you want to do it and more. I mean, keep doing it. Take it to the next level. The things where there's threats, you want to correct them, because you want that landscape to go away. And opportunity, that's where margin is made. That's where revenues go up. That's where a company thrive. But a lot of times, they don't know what the opportunity is. And they might say, well, gosh, if we don't know, how do you know? And IT is by saying we have an unfair advantage. And our unfair advantage is that we are servicing and taking care of hundreds of companies here in California. Therefore, we get to see across 19 years in business exactly what has worked, what has not worked, what other companies are doing as best practice. And we can take that best of breed and then bring those experiences to our client and say, you know, we saw this succeed at another business. I believe this can help you. And we can share that with experience and insight. Whereas that company, living, quote, within its own four walls, may not see those thoughts or ideas.
Well, so in one way of looking at a threat assessment or a SWOT analysis is this is an excellent way to get into a company and to help them become a client. And from a marketing perspective, that's a nice thing. But when we look at helping companies thrive in California, when that's the goal, I like to use a medical analogy that doctors think about public health, and their goal, the best doctor's goal, is to help people thrive. I mean, I think that's, isn't that what Kaiser Permanente uses as their motto is to thrive.
Right.
And now if we think about helping the economy in California thrive, and I believe that when the economy thrives, employees thrive, companies thrive, there's more money for infrastructure, there's more money for schools, there's more money for philanthropy. Things go better when businesses thrive. And if we use the doctor analogy and used Kaiser as a beacon, then what we're actually doing is asking companies to take a look at what they are doing in order to thrive, not just for personal gain of the owners, but for the gain of the entire society. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I would take it even one step further. First, I totally agree. The goal should be for any business is to thrive, not only thrive, as you say, for the founders, the principals, but thrive for the employees and thrive for the other surrounding businesses around them and toward the benefit of California as a focus. And I think that the other side of that is not only thrive, but make the work environment fantastic for everybody involved. And you know, you say, well, how can you impact something like a whole work environment or make a company thrive? And you'd be amazed at what little things it takes. And I'll give you a very short example. One of our long-term clients, they have about 80 employees, and they were just inefficient. They were a great company, just inefficient. And what we did is we showed them another one of our clients that has dual monitors, two monitors. And realize that salaries, you could pay someone easily between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. You give them a second monitor, and their efficiency by HR published stats goes up about 28%. Where else can you get such an increase in productivity for buying a $150 item? Mm-hmm. But once you've experienced and had your workforce experience two monitors, the first one is productivity immediately goes up. Number two, they can't go back because once you experience it, it really is business changing. Number three is that you made the quality of life better for every worker. If you've ever watched somebody in frustration rotate back and forth between a Word doc and a browser window and maybe some logistical information they're keeping track of, the worker has to remember all this stuff from one screen to minimize to the next screen to type it back in again. And you might stop and think about it. That's kind of silly, and yes, it is. But for $150, you can turn around and give them two monitors, they can see their work, they can author and create their work or type it into a system, and they're happier, the company is happier, the efficiency greatly goes up, and you say, why didn't I do this before? And the answer is because they're working again in their four walls. They don't get out and see how other businesses operate. And that's kind of our unfair advantage, so to speak, is that we do get out and see how other businesses function and what a difference it makes.
Well, unfair advantage, I mean, that's what you contribute. In a real sense, what the medical community contributes to the society is a way to thrive in terms of your personal health, as well as in terms of community health. So it's now, what would you say? Oh, by the way, before we go on, I have two monitors in my office, and I have a standing desk. A huge difference in productivity. I use a MacBook Air to at home, so I can be portable. And I, in working on digital marketing now and trying to create websites and pages and email campaigns, I couldn't do it. It was so frustrating to do it on my 13-inch monitor. So I bought a 25-inch HP monitor. It just came yesterday, plugged it in, and then said, oh my goodness, how do I get a second one? So what do you think, now think back to the idea of health. We have annual checkups for our health. Should a company have an annual checkup for their technology in terms of business and improvement?
Absolutely. And that does, it exists, it happens, and it's one of the best things you could do for your business. And we approach it on a very friendly, would be the right way to say this. As an example, another technology provider for their client does all their technology, but they wanted an outside third-party assessment because you don't assess yourself. And so we went into a business, a law firm with about 80 employees. We did an assessment. We took a look at what they had in place. And while they did have a lot of good things, we produced over a 100-page report, and we detailed a lot of the things that they just weren't aware of, that weren't right, that made it big impact on the business. And our role in this case was not for them to become our client. Our role was to step in and do a third-party assessment. And we do that for other IT companies. We do that for private companies, public companies. And where there's not an IT company involved, we're delighted to become that, but we will play fair either way. We'll go in and do that assessment for another company before somebody has a public audit. We'll kind of do an internal audit, and it is eye-opening.
Well, and it seems to me that part of what we're talking about here in terms of helping businesses thrive in California is moving from the picture that everything I do is to bring money to me. Everything I do is aimed at selling my goods and services to somebody. Moving from that to my job is to help people solve the problems that they may not even know they have, to present them with the kind of solutions and help them become aware of the problems first, and then to propose solutions that will help them become more efficient, more effective, and in fact thrive. So it's interesting to me how we make that change in the marketplace from highly competitive, it's all about me making a sale, to it's all about us helping each other to thrive in this ever-changing marketplace.
You know, the first thing is you have to look at where your personal satisfaction comes from. And my satisfaction comes from building a relationship with a business and helping them thrive. And there is a self-serving side to it, and it's not a bad sort. I consider it positive peer pressure, meaning there is a positive side, and that is the business itself grows. That's good for California. That's good for the employees. That's good for the owners. As we help that business grow, we naturally gain more business from that company, and that's good for us too. So I think that when your goal is to help a business thrive, you're focused on the right target, because everybody collectively is winning. The goal is not to sell a widget, or that's only a very quick fix, and I think everybody sees through that, and it definitely doesn't help the long-term vision of the company. But when you help them thrive, when you help them reach the next level, when you show them that they can do things that they hadn't considered before, it's amazing how all of a sudden budget becomes available, because they actually see how their business is going to grow. And I'll share a funny one-liner that a CEO shared with me. He says, Dave, I'll give you $100,000 any day when you show me how to make $200,000 out of it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the money that was the topic. It was the concept behind it, meaning we absolutely have room to make our technology better, but show me how that it's going to make us better. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of people don't know how to share that.
That's great. And I think that's what we're doing in this series of interviews and conversations on the Pilgrim on the 405, is to help people get to that place where they are, in fact, looking at how to make businesses thrive in California. And through that, to make the culture, the society, employees, people, all of us, to have a great life here. So, thanks. You stick around. We'll after we hear a word from some of our sponsors, and we'll pick up and talk about some other elements about thriving in California.
Does your company need more than basic financial transactions? Are you holding your business back with your entry-level accounting software? When your business starts to grow, and it will, you'll need more security, features, and functionality. Well, let me introduce you to Gravity Software. Gravity Software's online accounting solution is written on the Microsoft CRM platform. No more islands of information. Financials and CRM are fully integrated and in the cloud. Gravity's goal is to fill the gap between entry-level accounting software like QuickBooks and complex and expensive enterprise applications. Gravity Software, simply innovative business management. Learn more at go-gravity.com.
Hi, time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. Prospects want your information and expertise. Prospects have been trained by the vast majority of salespeople to feel entitled to your valuable information. Most salespeople are comfortable in coughing up their expertise for free. However, when the orders don't come and the prospect has shopped your information to your competitor, the salesperson has fallen victim to unpaid consulting. Before giving information, ask good questions. What does the prospect want? What is the urgency? What are the consequences of not buying anything? What is the decision-making process? Eliminate unpaid consulting. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
Back to Will Chris, the Pilgrim on the 405.
And we're back here with Dave Seibert to talk about how IT can help businesses thrive in California. So, Dave, tell me a little bit about, you mentioned reducing salary expenses and higher efficiency. How can IT help with something? The largest part of most businesses is salary. So if IT can make an impact on that, can that help businesses thrive?
Absolutely. And I think what the key here is putting technology in place that complements your teams that you have within the company. And I'll give you a good example. We have a client that has a warehouse, actually more than one, but their warehouses are about 100,000 square feet. And they're scattered across the U.S., so they have four or five of them. We turned around and put video inside of those warehouses. By having video in them, that means that one person back at headquarters can watch and understand that, number one, their employees are safe because there's forklifts and things of that moving around. It means, number two, they don't have to go through the expense of having added physical people security at some of those remote locations, because they can centralize it on a video monitor screen right at their own desk and see the different warehouses across the country. And that makes safety better. That makes knowing what's happening at your remote locations safer and better. And the other thing that it does is that if somebody needs to gain access in the middle of the night, for whatever that reason might be, some of them are actually 24/7, they have a mobile app and they can actually see the person at the door and they can buzz them in literally cross-country. And these kind of things are efficiency savers, and they help people be more productive at their roles and their jobs. And even something as simple as we mentioned with the dual monitors, that's where one person can be more effective versus necessarily having to hire a second person to do that task. Instead, you're empowering people. I think when you empower people, they're more excited. They really are. Because when you ask workers, you know, where does your happiness come from? It's not always a bigger paycheck. I get it. We all want to make more money, and that's a healthy thing. But when you empower people and you make them feel part of the process and you help them to do their role more efficiently, I think you have a much happier workforce, and everybody wins when that happens.
Well, I mean, it's one of the big things about the entrepreneurial operating system. The first part is getting clear about what the vision is, and not only getting clear about the vision with the two or three people at the top, but sharing that vision with the entire company so that everybody knows where we're going, why we're going there, and how we're going to get there. Everybody can now row in the same direction, and everybody can increase their creative productivity. I mean, to me, when the employees of the company do not know what the vision is for the company, I think you're operating at about 50% of the creative potential that you have in your group.
And you're talking about team. I mean, it really is. You're talking about team. And I think one of the core things that we do is help companies work better as team, because we introduce needed technology that lets them effectively work better together. And a simple scenario would be a company that has warehouse systems of equipment coming in and out and shipments. And when we engage a client, a lot of times they're doing this on Excel. And realize Excel, by and large, is one person at a time. And when one person is putting stuff in and out, the efficiency is horrible. And especially when the admin team and the warehouse team, they don't visually see each other. They're normally in different parts of the building. The efficiency just goes way down. And there's a lot of frustration. Well, I thought that was shipped. No, that's not shipped. Well, why did you ship it there? So when you turn around and put a simple system in place, what we call a line of business, a LOB, a line of business application, now everybody can use the same application at the same time. Now everything's running smoother. Everybody knows when the items were shipped or received, and everybody's working off the same pane of glass. And it helps efficiency. I think it helps the company folks work as a team. And I think that makes their happiness, contentness level go up. And when they're happy, they stay. Because turnover is a huge cost factor. And when we can help those systems work better and employees have a better work environment and therefore turnover is lower, you just lower the company's expense on payroll, because payroll is not just the money that gets written out each month. It's the training. It's the onboarding. It's there's a cost in letting somebody go. The whole turnover of personnel. And when you can lower that turnover, you bring money to the bottom line of a business, and they have employees for a long time.
Well, and that's part of what happens with the entrepreneurial operating system. When EOS begins to help people to see vision is important, getting the right people in the right place, getting clear data, and it seems to me that technology can help support those pieces. And it's an important part to see how technology can help a business really thrive. I think technology started as a toy in a garage, and now it is the undergirding, the infrastructure, not any different in importance, for highways, for a logistics company. The technology is the infrastructure for any business today.
So when you walk into a business and you ask them who takes care of their technology, you can tell really fast the importance level, because they might point you to a person and say, well, when something breaks, we give it to Joe. He fixes it. You can go into another business and they actually have an IT manager. You can go into another business and they have somebody higher, a director or a CIO like myself. And other times you're talking directly to the CEO that has technology reporting directly to them, or the CFO, because they realize what a strategic advantage. A business that knows how to leverage technology, they thrive. They make more money. They grow. And what a difference from moving that from give it to Joe, he'll fix it when it breaks, to moving it underneath an executive in the business that that really wants to hear how technology can take them to the next level. Huge difference in what we see. And the other thing that's changing really fast is cloud. Cloud is making a huge impact on business, and it's a good thing. It used to be CapEx. You wrote your big check. You got some technology. Now with cloud, things are turning OpEx. It's turning into a monthly smaller figure that's more manageable, and the CFO and CEO levels, they love that. And it makes good sense for the business, too. So if you've thought about, well, gosh, will cloud help my business? Well, the answer fast is yes. And then you just need to learn how.
Well, now, I appreciate what you were saying about the your story about how having video in warehouses across the various warehouses across the country. When you begin to talk about that, and you talk about efficiency, have you considered, I'm sure you have, thought about the impact that technology has when it's replacing human employees?
You know, we don't see that too much. Instead, what we see is that most businesses have a list of things that they really want to get to, meaning things that will make a big difference on the business, but they don't have time to get to those items because they're too busy with the day-to-day operations. So our goal is to, once again, you know, fixing networks and servers and PCs, that's just something that needs to be done, and we do it well. The real focus is to go beyond that, and help them be more valuable in the business. And they can't be more valuable if they can't be working productively. So in other words, imagine a worker that has a simple, silly example. They come in every day and their computer is not working well. It's broke. But they can still lump by. That person, number one, is not efficient at all. Number two is it's really hard for them to participate in the team. And number three is forget about looking forward for the things that the business needs because they're too busy trying to struggle their way through with what they have. So walk in there and fix that right away, meaning make that gear and software and hardware and technology work the way it was meant to work so that people are productive. Now that that's out of the way, now start looking ahead. What can they do? What can the business do in order to move that business ahead? I think that's where the focus is. So you're not really getting rid of any job. Instead, what you're doing is that you're helping that environment to be productive and lower the risk and make it a happier place to work. And now employees are starting to focus more on what can we do next? What can we do to grow it? And that's where I think that's where people thrive.
Well, and that's the in the work that we do with helping companies get clear about their vision and an operating system that works inside the business. One of the things that I've been fascinated with is the whole notion of the list of issues. And that list of issues, how often does that list of issues get lost? Because it's overwhelming, because we can't get to it. But if what I'm hearing you say is that by using technology to increase the efficiency and the effectiveness of a given employee, that will free up other energy, other people in the organization to begin to take a look at that list, to prioritize it, and to begin to actually do the things that the company's been wanting to do to help them get to their 10-year, 30, 40-year goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's lots of examples of this, and I'll share two really quick. One of them is a manufacturing business that when we engaged them and we became a client relationship together, they were around $22 million. And 3.5 years later, they're hovering around a $50 million business. And you say, how did that happen? And, you know, it took teamwork. We can't take credit by ourselves whatsoever. But teamwork, collectively together, the owner had a vision that they wanted it to be better. We had the vision that we can come in and make your team productive. We can have them lower risk. We can lower your turnover. We can put technology in place. And the technology you already spent money on and normally doesn't work the way it should be. And when you start systematically, one by one, fixing what's broke, and making things work the way they were supposed to really work, and then take it to the third level. How do we strive? How do we thrive to the next level? That's how a business starts to grow. It's great for them. It's great for us. And I'll give you one last example. We recently had about a 55-person company that had a legacy phone system, something simple. Phone system. They've had it for 10 plus years. And they paid really high rates. They had really high long distance, and they had very limited features. We turned around and gave them a proposal on a new phone system that was today's technology, what's called VoIP. V-O-I-P. And long story short, we saved them about $180,000 over 4 years, which TCO, total cost of ownership. It's a great buzzword, but it means a lot to an executive. Now they're employees. They can take phones with them to home. They at home, they're an extension of the office. You don't know the difference. When a salesperson travels, they can have a soft phone. That means they have an earpiece, a Bluetooth earpiece, in their laptop. And no matter where they are, airport, hotel, the office can ring them by an extension. They can talk to a client like they're part of the office. These things totally revolutionize a business that if you hadn't seen it and you didn't know what it could do, you would have just stuck with your old phone system because, well, it worked. And those kind of things make huge differences, and that's how you get a business to thrive.
Now, it seems to me in talking to you that I'm beginning to get the sense that for both of us, it's not about us. It's about what's available in the marketplace, what's available technologically, what's available in terms of operating systems for businesses, what is available. I don't ever feel like I'm a genius walking in or a guru. I'm simply helping a company get clear about what their vision is, who are the people who are going to be in the right seats, and what are the right jobs for them, what is the data they need to have, what are the issues, how they're going to solve these issues. The operating system is there. I'm simply there to help them take a look at it, to become aware of it, and either to use it themselves or engage me to help them work through it. But it's not about me. It's about helping that business thrive. Would you say the same things about you?
I think there's no greater reward than to engage with a business and that business to watch it become better every day, to watch it thrive, and to know that you are part of that process. And one of the things that we do that kind of shocks companies is we do something called an EBR, an executive briefing review. It's basically means that we think about what their roadmap is going to look like. We learn the business. That's why we build a relationship. And we look at what does the business do today. What should that business look like 6, 12, and 18 months? Those are kind of like the three key milestones. And then we sit down with the executive team and we say, we can help your business be better in 6, 12, and 18 months. And here's what we're going to recommend that you do, along with obviously their insight. It's kind of like a team project. And to have someone with technology background and to have that business executive that has a passion for their own business, when you put those two together and they start to see the roadmap of how their business is going to thrive and succeed, they get excited. And then you do one small step. They see the success. Once they see the success, it's like, what can we do next? And then it becomes contagious. And that's a good thing. And I think that's where the satisfaction and my personal, success comes from, is watching that process happen and watching a business thrive. That's why I get involved. I know you mentioned it in the beginning. A lot of people might have missed it. But I'm a presenter for SCORE and a presenter for the SBA, Small Business Administration. And I'm flattered to do that because that's where you can help either a starter business or even a business that's running but wants some more help. And to watch the success of those businesses because of some time you spent together is it's great.
Well, how do you find people who want you to come in and do an analysis or an assessment of the potential for their business to thrive?
You know, I think the first thing is it has to start at the highest level in a company, meaning they need to want to grow. And you go, well, gosh, every business wants to grow. Well, no, not really. And number two is they have to realize that with the right team play in place, their business can do so much better. And as I mentioned, we have a fun expression, an unfair advantage, because we see so many other businesses, verticals like them, companies that are smaller than them, companies that are larger than them, companies that have gone through merger and acquisition and bankruptcy and, well, everything. And because we've seen that, we can bring value to the table and help them see some of those. They see the business vision. We just see how to enable it. And then we share, hey, we can help you achieve this. Here's how we did it for others. Here's how we can do it for you.
Well, I think that's an important part of what we can do for businesses or with businesses in California, is to help them get a clear picture of what's possible for them and help them, inspire them to think about those possibilities rather than simply to believe they're in a comfort zone, we have enough, we don't have to do any more. But the real excitement is taking on the next challenge, getting to the next level. And I think that's what I find so inspiring, and what I have to tell people who are, I hear from time to time about various constraints in California, and I'd have to tell them, if you're going to work with me, there's one rule: no more whining. We're looking forward to what we can achieve, what we can begin to do in terms of, growth is an interesting idea, because it's not growing like a plant grows. It's really taking on new challenges, and that has to do with being at the cutting edge of industry or cutting edge of the particular business, and that's where I think the most excitement is.
And you're totally right, and I'll share another great short story. One of our clients that has about 100 people, they have salespeople scattered all around the U.S. And the whine was number one, on an annual basis, we bring them all in because that's our only chance to talk to them. And what a huge expense that is. And, of course, the travel time. And the other times of the year, we just don't have that touch. And once a year is just not enough. And as we continue to grow the sales organization, it's just going to get worse. And you have to be careful, meaning sometimes you want to laugh, meaning, why are you still doing it that way? But you got to be professional about it and say, let me share with you another way, another vision. And what we did in short is that we introduced them to video conferencing. And video conferencing, you might go, oh, I know what that is. If you haven't seen what video conferencing can do today, we set up video conferencing. You can have a conference on your smartphone. You can have a conference on a laptop in a room where you have a dozen people. But now they're meeting with that sales force on a regular basis, just like you would if they were inside your own four walls where you have a weekly meeting. Now they can do a reoccurring face-to-face meeting and see their whole sales force over video conferencing. They're so much more in touch. They no longer have to go through this one time a year, fly everybody in, and we have to get everything done in just a few days because, everybody's got a flight back out again. So now their sales team's more organized. They're all talking as a team, and it took something simple like video conferencing. And before, they didn't know because they didn't know what they didn't know.
Well, and where technology allows that to happen, I find very often in companies that even when they are local, all their sales team local, they are not meeting each week about 30 minutes individually with each salesperson. So certainly technology can help things move along, but it's also getting clear about how we're going to maximize the value and the productivity of that sales team. And Dave Sandler always told us that what we really need to be doing is the manager needs to be meeting with that salesperson each week to ask them about the goals that they set up. How are those goals going to help that particular salesperson in his or her personal life? Because that's where the motivation comes. But so it's really helping companies to see what are the elements of a thriving business, and then how can technology help us accomplish that?
Absolutely. Oh, you know, Will, before we run out of time, I want to share something with you. I brought with me today an award that you won, and I know that you had to leave an event early, and you don't know that you won this, so allow me just a moment to share this. So I am involved on a quarterly basis with a technology training event where we bring a whole bunch of technologists together, and we were so gracious to have you there, and you presented. And one of the things that we do is that we have the audience vote on a dozen and a half presenters. And one of those things is best presentation. And I hold in my hand a plaque, an acrylic plaque that says best presentation. And this is actually yours. You were voted by the attendees for the best presentation. And we'll take a photo together, but I want you to have this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure and a real joy to be with you. I hope to come back sometime, but thank you very much. It's a surprise, but it was a great group.
Absolutely.
So tell us, Dave, what are some ways that people could get in touch with you to talk about how you might be able to help them thrive in their business?
You know, the first thing is just the opportunity to say hello, meaning what we call that first meeting. And a lot of times for an executive that's a really busy person, I would share with them that if they simply gave the opportunity for what we would call an introductory meeting, to actually say hello and to learn what I and my company can do for them will change their world. And we don't, that's a complimentary thing for us to sit down with another business executive. I will sit down with another business executive any day of the week. That's my excitement. And the way that people can reach me, I'll share a few key things. First one, company IT Innovators. We're right here in Southern California. The website is www.itinnovators.com. And to reach me, two different ways. An email address is dave@itinnovators.com. And a phone number, of course, 714-832-5017. And reach out to me. I'd love to hear from business executives. Give me the opportunity to excite you in learning what we would do to take your business to the next level. And we can do that over a conversation. It doesn't take a lot for us to peek at a business and share with you what we would do. And I really thrive for that kind of conversation. And we do help businesses of all sizes. We have everything from a legal financial planner that may only have 10 people in their office to companies of hundreds of employees. And I just look forward to that opportunity to sit across the table and say hello. And I appreciate anybody reaching out to me.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much for being with us, Dave. I make a similar offer to people that I am in front of. I generally tell them that I have coffee in my office. And if they're going to go out to coffee, the price is right to come and just have a conversation about how their business is going and what they would like for it to be. Because once we know what they want it to be, then we can begin to use people like you to help us get clear about where they are right now. And it's not too long after that we can begin to get really clear about how to help them get to where they want to be. And so I'm glad to have you on the show. They can always get in touch with me at willchrist@willchrist.com. Give me a call at 949-355-6013. And it's been a joy to be with you, and I look forward to being with you again. This is the Pilgrim on the 405, helping businesses in California thrive.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willchrist.com.